Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. This is our text. One of Charles Schulz's peanut comic strips is one where Lucy is talking to Charlie Brown. She says, "Sometimes I feel we are not communicating. You, Charlie Brown, are a foul ball in a line drive life. You're often in the shadow of your own goalpost. You're a miscue. You are three putts on the 18th green. You are a 7-10 split in the 10th frame. You have dropped the rod and reel into the lake of life. You are a missed free throw. You have shanked a 9-iron, a called third strike, a bug on the windshield of life. Do you understand? Have I made myself clear?" Have you ever felt a little bit like Charlie Brown? Sometimes the challenges of life like spring up and it makes us feel as if life itself is out to get us. I must confess this morning I was a little afraid to pick that hymn for the sermon hymn. 10 verses? Really? Written by a pastor, Paul Gerhardt. Paul Gerhardt knew a few things about suffering. You know that the prince of his territory basically defrocked him, threw him out of office because Paul Gerhardt was unwilling to compromise on the Christian faith. The prince even forbid him to preach to his own household within his own home. If that weren't bad enough, Paul Gerhardt's wife and one of his sons died during that whole mess. And previous to that, he had lost three other children, and now he had one child left, a 6-year-old boy, that he was to provide for, all by himself. Paul Gerhardt wrote this hymn, and in it, one of the verses that we sang, he said the words, "No danger, thirst, or hunger, no pain or poverty, no earthly tyrant's anger shall ever vanquish me. Though earth should break asunder, my fortress you shall be. No fire or sword or thunder shall sever you from me." On those times where life doesn't go as is planned, that spilled cup of coffee in your lap in the morning, or that argument that goes too far, or that conversation with your doctor where what he's saying is not what you want to hear. When a spouse says, "I no longer love you," or a child says, "I no longer want to speak to you." We all suffer. Each one of us in our own ways, we struggle. And what do? During the times of struggle, often we withdraw into ourselves. It seems like when we're laughing, everyone laughs with us, but when we suffer, we cry alone. You probably all know that feeling of experiencing the isolation from friends and from family. A tragedy or something pops up in your life and you're really wrestling with it. And so often what happens is this, we might back away from those closest to us because we kind of think that this is our problem and we don't want to burden them with it. Or Jesus says we're supposed to pick up our cross and follow Him, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Some of us will no doubt remember the day when hospitals used to publish in the newspaper those that were admitted and released from the hospital. I remember when the hospital used to call the office and said that members were in the hospital. Sometimes unbeknown to them, I'd show them, they go, what are you doing here? But it wasn't until 1996 that we had that new law come into effect, that the HIPAA law. And the HIPAA law, amongst other things, keeps your medical records private. In fact, I jokingly tell them, if I go to the hospital, can you publish that in the newspaper? I want everybody to know I'm here. But HIPAA made it a lot easier to suffer in silence, because so often we think, I don't want anyone else to know. Spoiler alert, people find out. Your brothers and sisters in Christ oftentimes know the struggles that you face. And the challenge is, should I know it? I'm not really supposed to know it, so what do I do? And sometimes we don't speak up and talk about it. When you lose a loved one, so often, even in my case as pastor, I don't continue the conversation, because I know at the death of our daughter, people often says, you have my condolences, they want to talk about it. It's like, it's the last thing I wanted to talk about. And so too often, you and I, we face our challenges alone and we suffer in silence. We feel isolated. But it's not as isolated as we feel from our Heavenly Father. Christian author C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, A Grief Observed After the Death of His Wife, Joy, that he says, so often in the midst of the good times, and God just seems like really present, then in the midst of suffering, it's like God is absent. It's like He's not even here. For many of us, we know the truth of that. It seems like when we're hurting, it seems like God is so far away. We cry out in prayer, Lord, Lord, heal me. Lord, show mercy. Lord, comfort me. And it says, if we keep calling and no one's home, and we begin to wonder, does God even exist? If this God who pastor says loves me beyond all love, who would sacrifice His own Son for me, why doesn't He just intercede and make everything better? Why doesn't He take the suffering away? Doesn't He care for me? I feel so alone. I feel so cut off. It's in moments like that that we come to our text this morning in the epistle to the church in Rome. And we begin to understand that God knows our suffering. We have a God who knows exactly what we need. But just because God knows what our suffering, it doesn't mean that it's all eliminated. As if suffering now is held at bay. There's no possibility of suffering when you are in Christ and you love your Lord. It's not what Paul says. He says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. You know, of the 150 Psalms, the vast majority of those were written at a time of distress in the life of the psalmist. Most of the epistles that are in the Bible today were written from prison. John Bunyan, who wrote that Christian classic, A Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote it while he was in jail. Florence Nightingale was too sick to even get out of bed when she began to reorganize the hospitals of England. Louis Pasteur was semi-paralyzed, and he was constantly menaced by an illness as he continued to research to find solutions to diseases that were facing the world of his day. Martin Luther struggled with depression. C.F.W. Walther, the very first president of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was so ill and so bedridden that during his time of restoration, he read through Luther's works and really solidified his theology that made this church that we're a part of today even a possibility. Sometimes it seems that when God is about to make someone prominent or use them, he first puts us to the fire. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about suffering. Remember his words? He says, "Therefore, to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me." Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul knew about suffering. Dear friends, in the midst of the darkness of the lives in which we live, a light has dawned. In the midst of the suffering that we face in our lives, no matter how deplorable it may seem, that God literally is working for the good. And Paul says that we are more than conquerors. You and I who are often bent and broken, you and I who are often sunk in the sin and suffering, Paul writes that we are more than conquerors. The truth is this isn't a victory in which suffering is overcome and it just stops. You read through the Bible and you see the suffering of God's people that have gone before us. Think of your family members that have gone to be with the Lord and the suffering they went through and the pain and agony is a part of their daily lives. And look in the mirror of your own life. Suffering is reality for all of us. Sometimes things happen in life. Man, it is oh so tempting to think that darkness is the last word. It's so tempting to admit that's it, there's no hope. The door is slammed in our face and our employer says, "We don't need you anymore." Or the spouse says, "I don't love you anymore." Or the doctor says, "It's cancer and it doesn't look good." Or the casket of a loved one lowered into the ground. There seems to be no hope left at all. Appears that there's nothing left to say. No chance to say it. No happy ending, no matter how hard I prayed. It seems like evil has the last word. It seems like sin has the last word if suffering and death is all there is. But it's not over. It's not over. The last word hasn't yet been spoken. It's a word spoken by our Heavenly Father. Goodbye is not the last word. Cancer is not the last word. Unemployment, not even close to being the last word. Death, it's not the last word either. None of them are. We have a God in heaven who specializes in bringing light in the midst of darkness, who brings comfort in times of suffering, who shows love even in the face of death and the grave. The word of hope is love. For nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love has conquered sin, Satan, death. Love is what gives you and I hope. I want to close with a story about a monk. During medieval times, he announced to his hearers the day before that the sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday evening was going to be about the love of God. The congregation gathered and the lights outside began to dim as the sun was setting until finally the cathedral was completely dark. The monk lit a candle. In the midst of the darkness, the monk took a candle and illuminated the body of Christ upon the cross. First, he illuminated the crown of thorns, and then the nail-scarred hands, and then finally the spear mark that was in the side. A hush fell over the congregation as that monk blew out the candle and left the chancel, his sermon was over. My dear friends in Christ, I want to assure you in the midst of the suffering that you and I face in this life that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. You want to see the love of your Father? Look no further than the cross. Because there He was willing to sacrifice His own Son to redeem you, to buy you back, to make you a part of His family, and to give you the promise of eternal life in Christ. This morning as you leave this place, my prayer first and foremost is that you leave in peace. In spite of the struggles that you face, peace in knowing that you are loved, that you have hope in Christ. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join our voices together as we boldly confess our faith this morning using the words of the Nicene Creed. It's found on page 174, or just within the back cover of your hymnal. We confess together.